I haven't heard anything. But I'd bet Jim got the job. I mean, why wouldn't he? He's totally qualified and smart. Everyone loves him. And if he never comes back again, that's okay. We're friends, and I'm sure we'll stay friends. We never got the timing right. You know, I shot him down and then he did the same to me. But you know what? It's okay. I'm totally fine. Everything is going to be totally fine.
Sorry. Are you free for dinner tonight?
Yes.
All right. Then it's a date.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, a back-to-back victory Monday. Giants are 2-0 for the first time in forever. We're in a great mood and we're going to talk about it. Weiss, how are we doing?
Ethan, how are you, my man? Yeah,
I'm 2-0. First 2-0. I was at the game yesterday with Justin.
There you go.
It was a good time. Justin's a legitimate celebrity. Every 5 feet, someone's saying, hey, Justin. Hi, Justin. What's up, Justin? Giving him high fives. But it was fun, man. It was good to be in the stadium. You can't really see it on the webcam right now, but yesterday, like, it was hot. It was sunny. And when I go to a football game, I don't really, like, take that into account. And I got just toasted, burnt. Like,
when you go to a football stadium, that's what you expect.
I just wasn't thinking. So I'm a little burnt up. But great game. Let's talk about it. You wanted some extended time to discuss Kenny Golladay, I'll let you do that, and then we can talk about the good stuff.
Yeah. We'll discuss Kenny Golladay. Let's talk about the good real quick. The Giants. So last week was like a very emotional victory for everyone. This week, what you saw was you saw a team that is finding ways to win games. And I think one of the attributes of a good football team, of a successful organization that wins games, is they find ways to win football games in the National Football League. I thought yesterday the Giants had a clear coaching advantage. Matt Rhule, I was on the Panthers podcast last week, and I was telling their co-host that if Matt Rhule doesn't win this game, then he should probably be fired. They had a lot of advantages, and you saw they really zoned in on Saquon Barkley. While Saquon didn't have those highlight plays, I thought he had a good game, a good 65-yard rushing game, especially on that last drive where he really picked up 6, 7. And that's what we talk about with Saquon, right? It's not the 60-yard plays. It's those 4, 5, 6-yard plays that he's, you know, that we want him to get.
It's the chunk yardage plays that we care about.
Yeah, those are the most important ones. And on that last drive where they were really trying to get into field goal range, they put it on the back of Saquon and he got him in there. He had a sort of a big run in there. The quarterback, the bar is so low for Daniel Jones. I think we have to now expect going into every game that there's going to be one or two moments, one guarantee, where he's going to throw the football directly at a defender. And the defender might intercept the ball like the Titans did.
Yeah.
Or it might go through his hands like what happened in Carolina. I mean, those are game-changing plays that are happening. Luckily, first 2 weeks, the Giants have overcome those and won. But you're going to have to expect him. He's going to throw it to a defender. It's going to happen. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just that. I mean, yes.
Missing
throws. And yeah. From Justin's seats, like I usually sit – a little bit lower down in the stadium. We were pretty high up, which was great. I mean, it was like fairly close to center field. Like you could see everything.
The all 22 angle.
Yeah, all 22 angle. Like the number of times that Justin and I were standing up and screaming because there was a wide open receiver that Daniel Jones just didn't see it was sickening. I mean, literally right before Daniel Bellinger's touchdown, he had Daniel Bellinger wide open in the end zone. Missed him. He had Kadarius Toney wide open, missed him. There was one point he had Sterling Shepard wide open, missed him. And it wasn't even just like he missed the throw. He just did not even see that player was open. And again, like, these are just things that we're going to have to deal with on a weekly
basis.
And
I think it's good to note that quarterbacks miss throws. They miss wide open guys.
Of course.
But it doesn't happen on a consistent basis. It's happening right now. And I think that it's very alarming. Like, forget about the last 3 years. When we talk about just what's happening right now, they're winning games by overcoming some of the quarterback deficiencies.
Right. The way to say it is they are winning in spite of Daniel Jones. They are not winning because of Daniel Jones. They're winning because of their coaching.
I did think Daniel Jones did a good job on that third down and six play using his legs.
I agree.
And it seems like when Daniel Jones is making a good play, it's not happening with his arm. It's happening with his legs.
Right.
Also, I want to give him credit. He did have a very good drive to tie the game, that touchdown drive where Daniel Bellinger caught the pass.
I agree.
That's what I want to see from Daniel Jones consistently, not once one series a game or one drive a game.
Right. That's the problem. Like, this is a game where they should have been up 14-0 to start the game.
Yes.
If they get two turnovers on special teams in Panthers territory.
Yes, especially at least one touchdown drive. I mean, you can get stopped the second time.
Give me 10-0. Give me right. But this is like the Joe Judge Giants, where they have good field position and all you're expecting is 3 points. Like, you have to be able to go down the field and capitalize on those opportunities, especially earlier in the game, and put the pressure back on Baker Mayfield, who's a quarterback who, quite frankly, probably not nearly as good as I thought he was. You know, chalk it up to whatever, but he didn't play.
We can say that, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, like,
48% completion percentage.
Yeah, listen, I was saying earlier, you know, this year and even leading up to the game, like, I don't think he's a great quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback. He was not even a good quarterback in the game that we saw this past weekend.
I want to talk about the defense real quick. Wink Martindale, game ball, game obviously. Ball. Just an awesome coaching performance by him. They're without Azeez Ojulari. They're without Kayvon Thibodeau. They lose Leonard Williams in the third quarter, and they haven't lost a beat. O'Shane Zimenez, can I take back what I said about him?
You can, but honestly, I think it's mostly coaching. They had him in such a great situation.
Well, I do, but I also want to give him credit because I think he's finding a footing in this league. Like, yeah. I don't think he's going to be like a premier pass rusher or even a very good pass rusher. I just think he's finding his footing in the league, finding a role.
He was playing almost in like a linebacker capacity yesterday, right, where he was just, you know, do not let Baker escape the pocket when shit breaks down. And he did that twice on very important plays.
Yes. He also had did he have two sacks or one sack?
I think it was two.
I think he did have two, yeah, against Ikem Ekwonu. Jihad Ward, leader on the team. Really emotional guy. You see sort of like when the Giants brought in Wink, he brought in Jihad Ward, and you're like, okay, that's interesting. But you see why. Jihad Ward, focal leader on this team. Dane Belton, fourth round pick, first game, plays 46 snaps, 80% of the snaps, was all over the field, made a couple of good special teams play, nearly had an interception.
Cordell Flott.
Yeah, Cordell Flott struggled a little bit, gave up a touchdown.
Dude, again, outside of that play, like,
I thought he had a liability.
It wasn't a liability. I thought he had a good game. And not only that, from the jump, they were like, you are on DJ Moore. And he handled it as best you could.
And that's what I want for these young rookies. Like, you don't expect them to come in and like be a shutdown corner or a very good corner. What you want to see is don't be a liability. It's sort of like with the offensive linemen, right? Like, you don't want them to be a liability. Don't do stuff that's going to pop up and be like, okay, that's.
Yeah, we don't want to notice you. Yeah,
exactly. Adoree Jackson. Just a very, very, very strong start to the season. Xavier McKinney had him on Christian McCaffrey. I thought he did a good job. But I don't think the Panthers did nearly enough to get McCaffrey involved in the passing game. I was really surprised. Same. They sort of did it on one drive, and you're like, okay, here we go. Here comes the Panthers with McCaffrey. It's going to be a mismatch, and then just went away from it. And that was, to me, when you're not like, we talk about the Giants and their coaching and they're putting their players in a position to be successful. Matt Rhule is doing the exact opposite of that.
Correct.
That's why he's probably going to get fired.
Yeah.
But the defense, I mean, just the lack of talent that they have, but they're still able to have moments where they look dominant. Third down, they're the best third down defense in the National Football League. Just really, really, really strong coaching, strong, you know, the players are playing with such discipline. it's just really, really good to see. It's really good to see the development coming along as Ethan's dog just pops up in my screen. really impressed. And then Graham Gano, 4 for 4.
Yeah, I mean, listen, field goals. I'm going to be totally honest with you right now.
Yeah. I brought up Graham Gano for this specific reason.
A lot of people think that what I do is shtick. I truly believe that Graham Gano is the best kicker in Giants history. From a pure talent perspective, listen, I understand Lawrence Tynes kicked him into 2 Super Bowls. Yeah, whoop-de-freaking-do. Lawrence Tynes' career long is 53. Lawrence Tynes couldn't hit from 55 if he had a 25-mile-an-hour gust at his back. All right, Graham Gano is the most talented kicker in Giants history. And honestly, if you take positional value out of it, probably the best player on the team.
You think so?
Yeah. I think it's got to be close between him and now my dog's going crazy. I think it's got to be close between him, Saquon Barkley, and Andrew Thomas. Like if you say all things equal, right? Like just who cares that he's a kicker? Who cares that he's a running back? Who cares that he's a left tackle? Just from like a pure like talent at the position standpoint,
yeah,
I truly believe that Graham Gano is the best player on the team.
I mean, you can make the case that he was a big reason, well, the most important reason that they won the game yesterday.
A close
game like that, you're struggling to get in the end zone. He kicks 2 50 plus yarders, including a 56 yarder. And I want to talk about something real quick. So that play, that final drive that they got him into field, that they got into field goal range, there was a second down and 4 where they ran the ball and I think they lost like 5 or 6 yards. And I think maybe they even got a penalty, really backed them up. So they faced a third down and they were not in field goal range at the time.
Yep.
In past years, you would have seen the Giants either do something stupid or cost them, you know, or not get themselves into field goal range on that third down to kick a field goal.
Yep.
Yesterday, you saw a very good play call. Like, this is what I'm talking about. It's these small things, man. Like, football is such a close – like, these games are decided by 1 or 2 plays. They're facing a 3rd and long at a field goal range. They know their kicker's got a good leg. Just get it inside, you know, 35, 36, 37-yard line. He can make 55, 56-yard field goals. And they did it, man. And it's like those small things where you look at like those things like just make me fucking happy as a fan. Like I'm like, okay, this is competent football, man. Like you're putting your players in a position to be successful. You're doing smart things. It was 3rd and forever. Like it was 3rd and at least over 15. I don't remember the exact yards the gain was, but just a quick pass, got it to Sterling Shepard, got into field goal range. Graham Gano kicks 56-yarder. Those are the type of things, man. Those are winning plays. Those are competent football plays. When I say, you know, the difference, like good coaching versus bad coaching, that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
That's what it is. And it's so important to have do those small things correctly.
There was one point in the game at the very end. I need to, like, ask your opinion on this because I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Like, I tried explaining this to my dad, and he just, like, wasn't following me.
Yeah.
Right before the 2-minute warning.
Yes. I think you texted me about this.
Yeah, I did text you about this. Yeah, did you understand what I was saying?
Yes. So
Matt Rhule, I think, said basically told his defensive end, go offsides.
It was second and four.
Right. Yeah. Give the Giants the first down. Because at that point, they still had 3 timeouts in their pocket. Okay. You go into the 2-minute warning where the Giants now have a fresh set of downs, whereas had the Giants run the ball and gotten the first down out of the 2-minute warning,
you have to burn a timeout.
You're burning the timeout. Whereas you give them that fresh set of downs, you get 3 stops. And had they stopped Daniel Jones on that 3rd and 6 run and forced a punt, they still have over a minute to get down the field and into field goal range.
Right.
Right? So, like, I thought that was a tactically very smart. It just didn't work out because they couldn't get the stop.
Yeah, so what happened was it was first down. This was the last drive of the game.
Yeah.
Right? Giants had just stopped the Panthers. They had punt the ball. 1st down and 10, Barkley goes up the middle for 6 yards.
Yep.
Those are the type of 6-yard plays we're talking about,
big.
Right? Right. 2nd and 4, then the 2-minute warning comes,
yep.
Right? So now we're on the opposite side of the 2-minute warning, the other side of the 2-minute warning, and Matt Ioannidis jumps off sides.
Yes, and if the Giants had gotten the first down on the next play, then
Carolina has to burn a timeout.
And the Giants still get a fresh set of downs.
Right.
Whereas now the Giants get the fresh set of downs and the Panthers still have 3 timeouts.
Exactly.
That was what I was referring to.
So Ioannidis jumps off sides and then it's 1st and 10 after the 2-minute warning. Barkley gets 4 and then a no gain and then it was the scramble to end the game. So yeah, maybe I think if it was another coach, it would have been picked up more. But because Matt Rhule is So, I mean, he was such a bad coach yesterday. I mean, maybe, yeah. It was a smart decision, I think. It made sense when you think about it, right?
It was probably the only smart thing he did yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, they were like, how do you not go after Cordell Flott all day long? Like, how do you not isolate CMC against linebackers all day long?
Their best drive is when they went after Flott.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, dude. Like, come on, this isn't hard.
Yeah.
Matt Rhule, I mean, like I said, I was on the podcast with the Panthers. I said, look, if you guys lose this game.
What did they have to say about that?
They agreed. They thought, he's probably on his way out. But and we picked the Panthers because of the matchups. I just thought that they were gonna really stack the box, not let Saquon beat them. Did a good job of that. Saquon also did a good job getting some good, tough yardage.
Yep.
And then, hey, Daniel Jones beat us, and he couldn't.
Right.
And
they still lost.
He couldn't win his arm, did it with his legs.
Yeah.
But then they still lost.
Yeah. Another thing I still want to talk about, I mean, we spoke about the offense briefly. When it comes to Daniel Jones, I do still want to talk about Daniel Jones. When it comes to Daniel Jones, I think you said it perfectly earlier, where the bar is just so low. That whenever something good happens, people are quick to defend him or quick
they're quick to eliminate the bad.
Mm-hmm. They're quick to denounce any criticism. And when it comes to Daniel Jones, what you are viewing him as right now is this guy worth $30 million a year? That is what he's trying to show this year. Is he worth $30 million a year? Nothing that he has shown in year one, year two, year three. For
the
record,
the franchise tag is expected to be $28 million. So,
God.
No, what I'm saying is that people, there's a rebuttal there where you can franchise him. Well, the franchise tag is nearly $30 million too.
That's the point. Yeah. So you're basically like, I'm sorry, a guy who gets multiple chances right at the beginning of the game in Panthers territory off turnovers, only puts up 6 points, a guy who's consistently missing reads, a guy who's locking onto his first target, a guy who's going to throw at least one or two really, really awful balls a game right to a defender to be picked, to not to be picked. But listen, again, we see this with other quarterbacks. How many times should Patrick Mahomes have been intercepted in the Thursday night game? How many times was Justin Herbert intercepted in that game? But you know what they do when they're not doing that? They're driving down the field. They're throwing alien balls that you're just like, how the hell is he throwing that? And again, Daniel Jones is not that. He's not it. I said it before the season. I'll still say it now. There's nothing that we have seen that warrants giving this guy $30 million. And based on the fact that there's a new head coach, a new general manager who's bringing in all his guys, a general manager who's already scouted 3 or 4 of the marquee quarterbacks that are supposed to be, you know, top picks in this draft, like they want their guy. They do. It's just a fact. And if they're not drafting a quarterback this year, it's because something drastic happened. And Wink Martindale is talking to Lamar Jackson or another veteran that becomes a free agent.
Or they somehow coach their way into the playoffs and something like that.
No, but even then, like if they make the playoffs based on what we've seen in week 1 and 2, it's in spite of Daniel Jones.
Yeah, no. What I'm saying is like they're out of position to grab a quarterback, so they're not drafting a quarterback. Not necessarily they're keeping Daniel Jones, but they're just not. I think, look, everyone talks about, to me, the conversation, like, it's very tough to have this type of conversation on Twitter because everybody always looks at either a portion of what you're saying or they purposely take what you're saying out of context. This is what I want from Daniel Jones. I just want you to put the team in position to be successful. I don't care about wow throws are important. Like I want you to make good throws and go through your reads. I just don't want you to put the team in a position where they're leaving points on the field. They're giving the opponent the ball in plus territory. I want you to limit the negative plays.
You want him to be a game manager.
Basically, let's start there. Once you can limit that, then we can talk about, hey man, like you're missing throws. Like it's tough. Like he threw the he he throws the ball right to a defender. Like, he locks in on a receiver so badly that it does. There could be six defenders standing there. He's still going to throw the ball. I mean, that I don't know how the Panthers intercept that ball. So what I – like, if you're asking me, what do you want Daniel Jones to do? I just don't want Daniel Jones to put this team in a position where they have to make up for his mistakes, whether it's giving the opponent the ball in plus territory, whether it's missing a pass that could have put the Giants in position to get points. I just want him to not make those type of mistakes, and then we'll go from there. Like I said, the bar is low. You know, this team is 2-0 right now, and they're getting suboptimal quarterback play. It's not like the quarterback is doing it. Has he done some good things? Yeah. That drive was really – that drive that he had against the Panthers for the touchdown.
Cooper Rush did some good things.
I know, yesterday. But what I want – if you're – like, this is people asking, well, what do you want Daniel Jones to do? This is the easiest answer I can give you. You saw the drive against the Panthers? Can I get three of those a game? Can I get two of those a game?
He's not capable of that.
But I'm saying – I'm answering the question.
I get it.
You know what I'm saying? Like – whether or not he's capable of it, obviously we're seeing that question being answered for us.
My only retort is I think it's been answered. It's been we know what the answer is. And at this point, like, unless you're gonna become that guy, just snap of the fingers overnight, where like all of a sudden like you are playing at a top 15, top 10 quarterback level. Then, to be quite honest, I don't give a shit what you do this year, because you're not going to be here next year unless you show me that on a consistent basis. He hasn't done it in year one, year two, year three. He hasn't done it in games one and two so far this year under a new coaching staff that's done a really, really, really good job of maximizing the players' strengths on the roster. Like, we just spoke about the defense ad nauseum and what a great job Wink is doing. Like, he's starting rookies. He doesn't have his top two pass rushers. You know, Leonard Williams is going down in the third quarter of yesterday's game, and they're still finding ways to stop the opposing offense and do it, right? Like, I think there's literally one criticism of the coaching staff that I have, and it's something that Justin pointed out as we were sitting there yesterday. Their average third down distance in week one was like 3rd and 10. And I don't know what they finished at yesterday, but I know in the first half it wasn't very good either. That's really my only criticism of the coaching staff. They've done a really good job of maximizing Saquon Barkley. They've done a really good job of maximizing Richie James. Yeah. Sterling Shepard off.
He's their best receiver right now, by the way.
Sterling Shepard off a torn Achilles looks fantastic. Like, it's not a coaching issue. It's a Daniel Jones issue.
It's suboptimal quarterback play.
Yeah.
If he can raise his game, I'm not talking about him being the long-term quarterback. I'm saying if he can just raise his level of play by like 30%, the outlook of the season changes from, okay, maybe this team can compete for the division. Like, I think they're a very well-coached team. Their roster is not good, but they're finding ways to win games. And I just think he's got to raise his level of play. And here's the grading scale. When people say, why do you hate on Daniel Jones? I'm not hating on Daniel Jones. There's a grading scale. What I'm saying is, like, when we talk about criticizing Daniel Jones and why we don't think he's the long-term solution, there's a grading scale, right? Like, you look around the league, the teams that are successful, the teams that are contending, you have to have a quarterback that can put your team in position to make winning plays. He doesn't do that. He's not doing that right now. Not every single quarterback, has a good offensive line. Like, it's not that. I'm not sitting here grading him on the scale that we grade Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. No, I'm talking about the quarterbacks that are making throws during games, stepping up in the pocket and making throws, going through his progressions, improvising, going off script, making those plays where you're like, damn, that was a great play by the quarterback. Like, wow, he scrambled, threw that ball on the run, got that 3rd and 11 converted, right? Like, I'm asking for that, and it's just not there. There was the 3rd and 6 play. He improvised, got a first down. Good. I was like, that's a great play.
I don't even know if that was improvisation. I think that was like,
I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt.
It was if Saquon's not open, you have to run.
And he did. He made it. He made a defender miss. He made a defender miss. So I'm going to say, okay, great. Second, that drive against the Panthers. How many times on this episode have I brought up that drive? This is about the fourth or fifth time I'm bringing up that touchdown drive that he had. You know what else happened on that touchdown drive? He actually did miss a wide open receiver, but we're not bringing it up. You know why we're not bringing it up? Because the team scored points. He's not leading this team on drives where they're scoring points, and that's a problem. You're putting your defense in tough spots when you're not able to score enough points. Now, I want people to understand, I'm not looking at Daniel Jones and saying, why isn't Daniel Jones Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes? I'm looking at Daniel Jones and saying, hey, why can't you lead touchdown drives on a consistent basis in this league? Why is it that you're throwing for under 200 yards in a game, in a league that's driven by passing the ball? I just want those questions answered. You're seeing it. You saw it in week one. You saw it this time. The team is not letting him throw the ball in key moments because there's a lack of trust. I want him to build that trust. I'm not trying to be a hater. I'm not trying to say I'm rooting against him. I just want him to be a quarterback that can make plays in this league, throwing the football, where he can go off script, where he can go through his progressions. And I'm not seeing that right now.
So and I guess that's where you and I disagree. I don't even want to say disagree, because I don't disagree with that. I just don't think we see eye to eye in the sense that, like, right, like you say all that, right? Like,
you're answering the question. No, I'm still asking it.
I'm not even answering it. I think it's been answered. And my counter is, who cares, right? My objective of this season hasn't changed. It's about the coaching staff, right? It's about these young players that this new regime has brought in, seeing what they've got. It's about seeing what you can get out of the remaining Gettleman players and some of these albatross contracts, and right, just like, let's just see. We had zero expectations coming into the season. Right. But I think one thing that you and I agreed on is that Daniel Jones is not the quarterback of the New York Giants next season, barring a miracle. Nothing that we've seen so far has showed that miracle has started or is in progress. So for me, like, you want to see him like be 30% better, right? Which, okay, let's say he's like the 25th ranked quarterback in the league. If he gets 30% better, he's still not even top 15. So for me, like, my whole thing is, who cares? Like, if he, like, we know he's not it. And I don't think he's going to show us in the next 15 games that he is it. So whatever, like, do what you can with him. But at the end of the day, like, he is what he is at this point. And maybe
I guess I'm talking to the people that keep asking me why I'm so negative toward Daniel Jones.
But I think I am too. My answer is because I've seen it. He sucks. And this season was not about, like, proving that Daniel Jones is something that he hasn't shown. Like, he's just not good. Like, they're going to try their best to win games with him. It's worked so far in spite of him, I believe. And we'll see what happens. Like, I don't really think that it should be like this drama filled argument that a lot of people are making it out to be.
I think 15 games is still a long time. It's an eternity in the NFL.
It's going to go by quicker than we want, though.
I think he has an opportunity to sort of get better and show us something. It's not like it's four games left and the season is over. They're 2-0.
Yeah.
So it's just more opportunities for him to. Mm-hmm. Can you show us something that you haven't shown us in the past?
Yeah. And the next two games, very winnable.
Very winnable games.
They should win both at this point. I mean, they have clear coaching advantages in both.
Especially next week.
They might have they probably have the quarterback advantage next week.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see.
I think we can say that, yes.
Yeah.
Wide receivers, Kenny Golladay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know I told you I wanted to talk about this. If you could just give me a moment.
Go ahead.
By now, everybody knows the Kenny Golladay situation. If the Giants could, they would have released him yesterday. but they can't. Everybody knows the contract. I'm not going to sit here and discuss that. For whatever reason, the Brian Daboll and the Giants offense have decided that David Sills gives them the better opportunity to win than Kenny Golladay. I disagree with that. I don't know how you feel about that. I'm assuming you don't really care.
I don't, yeah.
But for the sake of argument, I don't think that that's true. Now, they're 2-0. I'm not going to sit here and make a big deal out of it. I probably wouldn't have made a big deal out of it if they were 0-2 either, because I'm sort of, like, you know, with you on that in terms of you know, it's just a whatever season. But so yesterday after the game, if you didn't know, Kenny Golladay played two snaps. David Sills played majority of the snaps. Now, I think I have no problem with David Sills getting meaningful snaps. I think David Sills is an easy guy to root for, right, Ethan? Like, he, you know, undrafted guy, practice squad, finally got the opportunity. I don't think that the discrepancy in snaps, I think, is fair, or I would do. But anywho, that's the decision they made. Again, they're 0-2. They won, right? Winning cures everything. And I typically don't like to do this, but it just really pissed me off to the point where I was like, I have to talk about this in the podcast, and I have to name the person. So Ryan Dunleavy of the New York Post after the game tweeted, this is what he tweeted. I have the tweet right here. He said, Kenny Golladay was not in the locker room and his locker was empty. Remember that. His locker was empty after the 15-minute cooling period for Giants post-game media, hashtag Giants. Now, right off the bat, you're trying to put, you know, everyone's putting on their investigative helmet, right? And they're like, okay, because we're not in the locker room, right? Like, you and me don't go in the locker room, fans don't go in the locker room, only the media does. So we're figuring out, okay, what's going on? Is he mad to the point where he's cleaned out his locker room and he's done with the Giants? Right. We've seen that in the past, right? We've seen players do that. That's the immediate reaction to that tweet. Wow, he's not in the locker room. He emptied out his locker. He's gone, right? He just didn't play at all. He's been benched by David Sills. Even though Brian Daboll said that he was fine, they told him in the beginning of the week that this was the game plan and he handled it like a pro. We've known that Brian Daboll likes to bend the truth a little bit.
Sure.
So I'm thinking, okay, listen, that's what it is. So I quote tweeted, not a good look. Same thing happened to Kadarius Toney. And this is, I'm paraphrasing what I said, like, you know, Kadarius Toney went through the similar situation in week one, still handled like a professional. You won a dollar. Remember that quote? Awesome quote. Then I see Julian Love, captain, good guy, right? You don't see him go after the media often, sort of quote tweeted Ryan Dunleavy and basically said, you know, that this is very, but I'll read you the exact quote. And you can go to his Twitter too and see this. My locker was cleared out and I was gone by that time too. So were several others. Now, this is what pissed me off. If you're Ryan Dunleavy, you're a reporter, right? And you believe that, hey, listen, you're Kenny Golladay, you're making $72 million, $18 million this year. You have the highest cap hit on the Giants. You're a veteran. You should stand up there and answer questions after the game. All for that angle you want to take. I don't care for it. I don't care what Kenny Golladay had to say after the game. I already know what's going on. Every smart Giant fans know what's going on as well. But Ryan, you're a reporter. You want to take that stance. All for you, my man. Do your job, right?
Mm-hmm.
He then began to backtrack. And that's what pissed me off. He started saying like, oh, I know this is very common, you know, and he was just going after fans that were coming after him. I think LPG, you know, Joe went after him, not went after him, but sort of put out there. There's a lot of gossip about, you know, what's being said about Golladay. You just start to see him say things like, yes, Julian is right. As I've reported since then, a cleared game day locker only means a player went home and won't be interviewed. Wait a minute. That's not what you meant with that tweet. Because if it was, then why did you tweet it out? Right? You could have just said what everyone else said, that he wasn't available to be interviewed after the game. But you wanted to create something. And if you want to create something, then run with it. Don't backtrack.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a weak move. And I'm not attacking Ryan Dunleavy as a person. I'm just saying in terms of his profession, as a reporter, that's a weak thing. And that takes me to a much bigger picture. I think this whole narrative of the New York media, you got to make sure you get a guy that can handle the New York media. I think the New York media thing, that shtick, is long gone. I don't think the New York media is tough. I don't think that it's like some... You got to be able to handle New York like that. Those days are dead. Those days were good back in like the 80s and the early 90s and even the early 2000s when there wasn't social media. And, you know, there was only like two or three newspapers, you know, in every town, and the Giants had, excuse me, New York had like four or five, right? And that's why it just meant that there was more media in New York to deal with, which is like in every other big city. Like, I don't think if you could take a New York beat reporter from that covers the Giants and stick him in a small town, that he's automatically going to put fear in that sports team's coach's heart or mind. Like, it's not a tough New York media. Not taking anything away from the New York media. I like the Giants beat reporters, have a good relationship with a lot of them. I just don't think the whole shtick is the New York media is tough. I don't think that's legit anymore. I think they're not tough. And I think this was an example of it. A reporter tried to, you know, stir the pot a little bit, try to create a story, and then decided not to run with it and just started backtracking when he got called out by a player. So, whatever your opinion is about Kenny Golladay, whatever you want the Giants to do, whether you want him to play more, you want him to get cut, you want him, whatever, I'm not here to tell you you're right or wrong. My whole thing with this reporter was Ryan Dunleavy of the New York Post was like, come on, dude. Like, you know what you were trying to do. You know what you were trying to do. Run with it. I would have respected it if you ran with it more. Right. Like, run with it. You're saying that's wrong? He should answer questions? Tell me.
Right.
Don't backtrack and don't say, you know, yeah, I was just saying he left. I wasn't saying anything else. No, you were saying more.
Yep.
And maybe I'm mad at myself because I sort of bought into that whole thing and I quote tweeted him. And then I just thought it was a very weak reporting move. And here's the thing, though, right? If Kenny Golladay left and he, you know, is done with the Giants, why don't you be a reporter and open up your Rolodex and try to find out why he left?
Right.
You know, because after all, you're the guy that can give us the answer. You cover the team. So backtrack like Deion Sanders and didn't want to face the music. And then he's just quote tweeting, you know, fans. I mean, you guys can go look at him. You know, I was informing that there would be no reaction post game for Kenny on his reduced.
Yeah, and then
role.
He's tweeting about the smell of marijuana in the MetLife Park.
Oh yeah,
bro, and it's legal. It's legal in Jersey.
I mean, you know,
get a life.
So, yeah, come on, be better, man. And the whole New York, you have to be able to handle the New York media. Well, there's the New York media for you.
Yeah,
tries to start something, gets called out, and immediately starts to backtrack.
Yeah,
New York Post covering the New York Giants.
Mm-hmm. So
that's right. My thing.
Anything
I just
else
had to get off my chest because I was pissed.
I don't blame you.
Well,
anything else?
That's it for the Panthers, man. 2-0. How about that?
2-0.
63% of the teams since 2000, when they expanded to 12 teams, have made the playoffs at 2-0. 63%.
So things looking up.
Back. Enjoy the ride. Let's keep it moving.
I want to talk just real briefly, just around the NFL. What a crazy day.
Yeah. Tua,
what a crazy day.
Six touchdowns, right?
Yeah. I mean, you probably have more insight into the Ravens than I do. I mean, that was a crazy game. They were down, what, 3 touchdowns late in the third quarter, came back to win. The Jets were down 30-17 with under 2 minutes to go, came back and won. The Cardinals, I mean, talk about another coach on the
Murray,
hot seat.
Man.
Yeah,
how about a quarterback faced a lot of scrutiny? That was, we talked about Saquon last week, putting the team on his back. I thought Kyler put the team on his back.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday. those three games alone. I mean, damn, what a day! I still can't believe that the Ravens didn't just give Lamar a blank check. I mean, bro, fucking MVP. Put on 20 pounds this offseason.
It's a very interesting situation in Baltimore because you don't see this from an organization like the Ravens.
Right. That's why I'm surprised.
This is something you see from like Cincinnati or, you know, those bad
Cowboys.
Yeah. Steve Bisciotti he's a very good owner. I just think.
I mean, I understand it's two totally different situations, very different situations, but like, how you can go look at what Aaron Judge is doing and when, you know, the Yankees didn't pay him what he wanted and he's having an MVP season and then just be like, yeah, I'll take that risk with a guy who's literally already won MVP. That's crazy to me. That's really crazy. But I have Lamar on both my fantasy teams. So
me too. I have him on one. 40 points yesterday. How about that?
It was 40. How many you got for me? It was 42. Yeah, 42.62 on both my teams.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that I really thought they would have gotten the deal done at the end of camp. They didn't. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I know there's going to be a lot of noise that comes out about I'll retire. You know, those reports where I'll retire if they put the tag on me, yada, yada, yada. I think they eventually get a deal done.
Me too. But, but the price today is not the price yesterday.
No, I mean, he's continuing to push toward every performance like this. The guaranteed dollars go up.
Yes.
Okay. So if the Ravens don't want to give him a guaranteed contract, fine. But then just the contract itself will continue to raise because the guaranteed dollars are going up.
21 of 29 passing, 318 yards, and 3 touchdowns. On top of his 11 yards per attempt, over 100 rushing yards and a touchdown. Should have had 2 rushing touchdowns, but they had one that got called back. Damn.
You don't see Baltimore fumble at the goal line like that. Yeah, it was a weird game for Baltimore. They have a couple of those a year all the time. They didn't even date it back to Flacco. But usually they usually pull that out. they don't usually lose those games. They might blow a lead. They might have some stupid plays, but they end up pulling it out. But yesterday they just ran into the buzzsaw. That's Tua Tagovailoa.
Tua Anan,
yeah. In Arizona, listen, you asked me what I want from Daniel Jones. I'm not asking him to run around and convert third downs, but you saw that throw that Kyler Murray made to AJ Green on the 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
Can I get something like that? Can I get moments like that from Daniel Jones?
No, probably.
You're telling me no, but I'm asking that question to the people that tell me that I'm a Daniel Jones hater.
Yeah.
We got two good games tonight, Minnesota and Philly. And
yeah, dude, Philly's going to be, taking off my hate blinders, but Philly's going to be a real fun team to watch.
I actually think Minnesota wins tonight, by the way.
I mean, listen, it wouldn't surprise me. I think they're the better coach team, but
yeah,
it'll be fun. All right.
2-0 Giants. We'll be back later in the week. Talk about that big Monday night game.
We will be. All right. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss, NYG Daily, the blog, Gotham SN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave us a kind review. Talk to you guys in a couple days.
Peace.